It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4-inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Coming up in this edition of From the Shortgrass, I sit down with Leanne Gilchrist. Leanne currently serves as the CEO at the Golf Performance Academy. So if you have a youngster that wants to get better, wants to enjoy the game, wants to really learn how to play the game at a high level, this might be for you. I hope you enjoy it. UAMS Ortho Now, open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. It's conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. I'm back with more From the Shortgrass after this. Stay with us.
At Stevens, our philosophy is to invest every dollar as if it were our own. To seize opportunity. To anticipate rather than react. To deliver constant focus in an ever-changing world. And to pursue the objectives of our clients in order to help them reach their financial goals. A proven history of helping companies and individuals. Stevens, member NYSE SIPC.
This is Justin Akre. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am Trey Schaap. Leanne Gilchrist is a seasoned leader in junior athletic development and performance coaching, currently serving as the CEO of the Golf Performance Academy, which is a destination for high-commitment athletes and families seeking a player development program that also provides mentorship, life preparation, and a high-performance culture. If you have a junior golfer that you think might be able to play at the highest level, the Golf Performance Academy might be for you. It's where junior golfers train, study, and prepare for college golf. At the Golf Performance Academy, they have 5 pillars of sustained elite performance, 5 elements of success. They are desire, coaching, mental, physical, and equipment. You can find all their information at thegolfperformanceacademy.com. On the tee, via Zoom, Leanne Gilchrist.
Leanne, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club and fell in love with this game?
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Trey. So I do, but I have to preface this that I am not a player myself. I've been in the business a long time, 20 years in the junior golf space, but I myself am not a player. I was married to a professional golfer, and so I feel like I could, you know, give anybody a good assessment of their game or help them with their game. I've been in the game a long time, but I don't really call myself a great player. So from that standpoint, I would say I fell in love with the game vicariously through others.
Yeah, so you must be a very good businesswoman because you are the CEO of the Golf Performance Center and Academy in Richfield, Connecticut. What happens there?
So, like I said, I have been involved in developmental junior golf for a long time. My ex-husband, Gary Gilchrist, he's pretty well known in the golf space. He started the IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida. So that was a great training ground because tennis really had got a grasp on the model, periodization, the physical side of the game. And so we learned a lot from that and applied it to golf. And many great names that you would know came through that program. And so subsequently, we started our own junior academy, really trying to constantly asking the right question, right? How to unlock potential, how to unlock that human, like the passion, and make that connection between the goals that these kids have and actually achieving it. And you and I talked, earlier about the so many players that just don't quite seem to persist with the game, right? So we ask that question every day. At the Golf Performance Academy, we are, to my knowledge, the only nonprofit junior golf academy in the States. We have a campus in Ridgefield, Connecticut, one in Port St. Lucie, Florida, and that's the academy side. And I've actually transitioned away from the center, and my focus is on the academy. At the Golf Performance Center, that is the sort of it's an adult center with a lot of junior programs. Kids come in from the learn to play age, through the developmental model, so to speak, right? And when they're good enough, and if they really want more, they can transition into the academy. It's like a golf boarding school. And typically student athletes will stay for 3 years and then go on to college or professional golf.
When you look at the landscape of college golf teams, the makeup of college golf teams, it seems to me that there is a big foreign influence on both the men's and women's side. Do you see that as well?
Absolutely.
Why do you
Absolutely.
think that is, Leanne?
I think this trend has been going on for a while now, a couple of decades. A lot of it has to do with the fact that the US is so big. It's only in recent years we've had a USGA national team. And how much impact can they really have? They're a fairly small team, and we're a huge country. A lot of these international kids have the benefit of a very robust and active federation, or their country is sponsoring their development, and they just have tons of resources at their disposal. So if you look at us in the US, we have these private organizations like the First Tee, et cetera, that really try to bring a lot of kids into the game. And there's a number of great organizations that do this. But I think where they sort of drop off is in the early teens. So we see a lot of interest in the younger years, and then sort of middle school age, that preteen, a lot of drop off in the game. So clearly, we need to all come together and come up with answers and solutions to this challenge.
If you're a parent out there that is listening to this, how would you introduce the game to your youngster? Let's say, and when do you need to do it? Do you need to do it 5 years old, 6 years old? Do you need to wait till they have a little more motor skills? When's a good age?
So I think with sport, the important thing is the excitement and the love of the game. Your first question you asked me, when did you fall in love with this game? So I think, unfortunately, the landscape out there, the landscape of college golf, and we can talk a little more about that, it doesn't help because it creates all of this like high stakes squeeze to get recruited, right? So instead of young people trying it out, seeing if they love it, enjoying it, and it being a passion, too early, there's specialization, number one, and then there's all this pressure to play tournaments, to play well in tournaments, and we miss the boat in a really, really big way. So for parents, of course, there's ideal biological windows, right? If you are 5 to 6 years old, you're learning certain motor patterns and certain skills, you know, catching, throwing, all that jazz, right? And all of those physical skills can be applied to multiple, to all sports, right? Because sure. The foundation is athleticism. You know, and at the Golf Performance Academy, one of our mantras that we say all the time, right? Function dictates form. You start with the functionality of the body. The physiology and the physical function are so important, right? And then you build those physical skills, you know, as you grow up. A parent might be out there with a 12-year-old that just started to enjoy golf. I'm not going to tell them they've missed the boat because they haven't. Right. If that child is running around, throwing balls, playing, you know, a softball or baseball, they doing those motor skills, they developing those skills that they will need for golf. So even for college golf, I've probably worked with hundreds of golfers that got placed into colleges, right? And that went to play college golf. And there's such a degree. It's just so broad. What that pipeline looks like and that path looks like. So parents listening to this, you know, nurture that love and that motivation, because hunger and passion is the absolute foundation for any success in sport or in anything, actually.
Well, and you talk about collegiate golf. If you're a female and you can basically shoot 85 and below, if you can break 85 on a consistent basis, I've always said, Leanne, you can almost go anywhere in the country that you want to go to, because those players that can do that are so few and far between. And so if you have a young lady that can do that, essentially, if she stays with the game, if she falls in love with the game, she can have her college paid for.
I completely agree with you, Trey. And people get stuck on D1, you know, and there's just so many programs out there beyond D1, even beyond, you know, NCAA Division 1, 2, and 3. There's a lot of options for college golf. You are 100% right. Girls do have an advantage. And as you know, a lot of the good friends of mine have been on your podcast. So I went back to look at some of your guests, right? I've helped, you know, bring students to their programs. And so it's just great. It's such a community in this golf world, in this golf industry. But if a girl really loves the game, a parent should absolutely do their very best to nurture that, you know, with some coaching, getting them in a program when they're in high school, encourage them to be on their high school team. But unfortunately, and this might be an unpopular statement I'm going to make, parents have a lot to do with the drop off from the game. Because what happens is too soon they apply that pressure or they bring in some negativity. And then kids are like, you know what, this is too much. I was literally just talking to a girl who said, you know what, her parents, it was just too intense, the college golf thing. So she just bowed out. So if parents realized how important their role is, the role of a parent, right, is to support, to come up with solutions, to help their children be resourceful, you know, and not to be part of the problem, but be part of the solution. So yes, girls, I actually just did an LPGA. We partner with the LPGA girls program. It's part of their foundation, and it helps girls around the US get into the game and stay in the game. And I was doing a college workshop, helping them with resume writing and that type of thing. And it was really surprising how little knowledge they had, how little experience they had in the process. So the more, you know, organizations and companies and academies like me and the equipment company, if we could all just do a little more to give back and help educate and maybe organize a little better, right? Then yes, there are options for girls. Absolutely.
How do you think the Augusta National Women's Amateur has played a role in the boom, if you will, for ladies amateur golf?
I think it was just sort of a spark. You know, it was a it ignited something. And there's just such a pride, such a feeling associated with it. It's been absolutely fantastic. So I think you're spot on. Augusta is iconic, obviously. So adding a female event, right before, it's been amazing. You mentioned the international focus, and like I said, so many resources in smaller countries allow them to accelerate their development. I think when we look at the college teams, there are tons of options. However, with roster spots being limited, I do think that golfers, male and female, need to really step up their game. Because, like on the girls' side, yes, it's actually an expansion from six to nine scholarships. So there's more money available, which is great. But the limitation on roster spots means, there's bigger scholarships, but there's more competition for less spots. So starting the process early, being interesting, not chasing rankings, but chasing sort of character and resilience and grit and chasing the right things. And I think that's what we see at Augusta, quite honestly. You see a lot of those things.
What are some of the challenges that you see junior golfers go through? What do they face on a day-to-day basis, whether it be access to a course? I know growing up that it would seem like if you go to the country club, there are a lot of the members out there. They don't like to see the junior golfers out there on the golf course. Now, there are a lot of clubs that embrace that, but there are some that don't. What are some of the challenges that you have seen, that you've come in contact with, that junior golfers face on a day in, day out basis?
There's definitely the external challenges are access, equipment. Equipment these days is astronomically expensive. For a junior golfer to get a really good custom fitting, where their equipment is working for them, that equipment costs thousands of dollars. So yes, there are programs out there to help. You can any PGA event, LPGA event that you watch, you can see, ads for these programs. There's a lot of good programs. And you're right. After 3 p.m., juniors can get on at a discounted rate. However, there still are barriers to entry. There are a lot of them, especially in lower, socioeconomic sectors. In the inner cities, in more diverse communities, it's still a challenge. So that's where we all have to step up and do a better job. So that's more the external. When it comes to the barriers that I've seen, maybe more psychological or internal, are junior golfers getting in their own way. And I mean, we see it every day when we watch tournaments, even at the highest levels, right? So those psychological barriers, focusing on the outcome more than the process, not managing tendencies the way we need to play at our best, and all of those types of things. I feel like there isn't enough emphasis on development, which is holistic development. It's physical, it's mental, and it's the skills. So just the pathway to development, there isn't enough focus on how we can do that.
What would you say to those that say, "Hey, I'm burnt out. I've played too much"? Because I see a lot of players that are really, really good, go through college. They talk, "Yeah, I want to make it to the PGA Tour." It's a tough trek to get to the PGA Tour, and they just get burnt out and they stop. Why do you think that is?
So I think burnout is a very interesting subject. There's a lot of research around it. I think that the word itself has a lot of emotional sort of attachment. We think of times maybe where we felt burnt out. But I think if you strip all that away, burnout is really tied to disappointment and expectations that have just been dashed. And we all sort of have a blueprint in our mind of how our lives should go, right? And if you have a young person that has a lot of talent, young in the game, because if you think about it, sometimes the skills are progressed for their age, but emotionally, mentally, they might not be there. Right? And so they expect the game to give them something, you know, well, they expect to shoot a score or expect something. And so what happens is they've lost sight of the process to be good. And then they judgmental and critical. And it's kind of like the story of the goose and the golden eggs type of thing, right? Mm-hmm. They start to focus on the eggs. And then, so burnout really is just disappointment. It's the pain of disappointment. And when we feel that disappointed, we just want to avoid that thing that's created that pain. And so we call it burnout. But really, if you love something, I mean, you go find me a highly successful athlete, musician. You know, if you find me those people and they're at the top of their game, do they ever tell us they burnt out? No. Not really. Not unlikely. Really. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, what are some things, because, you know, I know it's an expensive sport to try and play. You know what? You've said it. We've talked about it. What should parents be ready for if they are going to really try to help their youngster excel at this game? Because not only is it just the equipment, having golf balls, having access, but if you're going to play at the high level, you're going to have to travel.
Again, I know I'm very psychological, I guess, the way I filter things and see things. There's two sides to it. There's the practical side, right? The logistical side. For the game, you obviously it's a competition. And so playing tournaments is really important. If a child is fairly young, then you get them involved in US Kids and start with US Kids Club. That's all fairly affordable, right? US Kids have tournaments. Your local club might have a junior league. Again, all fairly affordable. Once a junior starts getting competitive and starts playing well, it is important to be putting them in the right kind of tournaments. You want them to compete, you know, at the right level. We at the academy, we have a bit of a methodology, a third, a third, a third. You want to do some of your tournaments fairly easy because you're building confidence and you might be changing something in the swing. And that's, then you have some that are more challenging, and then a couple that you want to compete in that are sort of above your level because you just want to push yourself, right? So all of that is pretty practical. On the mental or parenting side, I would say don't try to give your children the world, because one of my favorite quotes is, don't prepare the road for the child, prepare the child for the road. If we know that the litmus test for success is their hunger and desire, let the kids come and ask for it, right? Let them say, I really want to do this. Please take me to the course. Because if the parent starts doing too much, that's a sign of a lack of interest. So what I would say is give them what they need, but don't give them everything that you want to give them. Give them what they need for their level, right? And then just let their motivation drive the process.
I really like that. I really like that. That's a great statement there. We talked earlier about the Augusta National Women's Amateur and what that has done for, you know, women's junior golf and women's amateur golf. The drive, chip, and putt. Here again, another brainchild of Augusta National. And what it's done for the game of golf, particularly for amateur junior golf, I think is just phenomenal.
Absolutely. I think the phenomenal thing is when you looked at Augusta, the Green Jacket, it was so far off. And these events have brought that gap closer. And it's showcasing, you know, talent and just, you know, strength and athleticism at such a younger age. And it inspires hope, optimism. You know, people at home watching are like, wow, look at that. You know, there's hope, right? And so I completely agree with you. If we could do more of that, why not take that model and let's go, you know, let's go take that model to other tours. You know, wouldn't that be an incredible help? I mean, you might have just hit on something right there, because it's amazing, but once a year, we could do that a lot more, to inspire kids into the game, nurture their love of the game, and keep them playing.
I could see the USGA putting on a drive chip putt. I could see the RNA putting on a drive chip
Absolutely.
and putt. I don't see why Latin America PGA, Asia PGA,
Totally.
DP World Tour. I mean, they could all do that. And I think it would, for the health
Yeah.
of the game, it would be better.
No, I agree. And I think we are incredibly siloed, almost circling back. If we, circling back to how we started the conversation, the US is so big. And then you've got all these tours, all these organizations, all these trying to do good things. But honestly, unless we all sort of sat down at the same table to try to solve this and solve it together, I think we're going to struggle. And with the college landscape, I'm sure you're aware of this possible new NCAA ruling. If we get rid of the gap year, that's a fairly significant change. That moves kids into college earlier. I just think we have a challenging time on our hands in the next few years.
All right, you don't play the game per se. Is there a golf course that you have gone to with your ex-husband who played a lot that you were just like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. If I could play, this is where I would like to go.
This is funny. I hope some of my buddies are listening to this and chuckling, because I get invited to some really beautiful golf courses, as you can imagine. And most of the time, I just say I'm busy. I don't tell them I'm not a good player.
I could be your proxy.
There we go. It's you and me, kid. So I've obviously been to a lot of professional tournaments and tons of junior golf tournaments. So I think, not to sound overly sort of romantic, but St. Andrews has to be right up there. Just absolutely nostalgic and incredible, and that just beautiful. So I tend to like, I'm from South Africa. We have some incredible golf courses in South Africa, but the Scottish courses are, that's the OG, right?
No doubt about it. I'm right there with you, Leanne. Those are mine too. I'm like, oh gosh, the
Oh,
old course,
awesome.
St. Andrews,
Yeah,
just perfect. All right.
beautiful.
If you played fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you could play with three others. Who would they be?
It might be a little boring. Gary Player, Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's nice. That's
Yeah.
not boring at all. That's going to be a great foursome. Leanne, tell people how they can get in touch with the Golf Performance Academy if they would like to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Welcome to come to our website. It's thegolfperformanceacademy.com. And yeah, we'd love to any, you know, we'd love, we love to have site visitors. We would love to talk more about our programs, our assessment. One of our key parts of our program is the Player Development Index, whereby we constantly assess our student athletes to benchmark them and just track their development. So I do think development data is going to be one of those key things in the next decade. So, get on the train.
Leanne, I can't thank you enough for your time.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
This is Justin Akre. If shoulder or elbow pain is affecting your daily life, the fellowship-trained physicians at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health are here to help. They offer advanced care for injuries, arthritis, rotator cuff problems, and more, helping you feel better, move better, and get back to everyday life. Call 501-686-TOSH today to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the short grass.
You have been listening to From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.